1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the first 3 verses. As I start this short series of brief discourses on 1 Corinthians, I want to make this point. As I look out upon the churches of Jesus Christ today, I see much corruption, much defection and apostasy, and turning away from the plain revelation of God in Scripture. And I believe the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians perhaps has more to say to the present-day churches than any letter in the New Testament. In many ways, the churches today resemble the disorders at Corinth. There are some things about the Corinthian church which leave today's churches, most of them, floundering. But in many ways, the church at Corinth had the essence of much of the corruption and the root of much of the defection and apostasy we see in today's churches. I want to give this a series of brief discourses with this in mind, not to give a series of lectures on doctrine or scripture, but to apply these scriptures to us today, to myself first of all, to the churches. As many as will listen to me, I want to make my voice known in calling us back to Scripture. Paul opens on the right note. These first three verses are not verbal packing or padding to fill out a letter. Nearly every word here is pregnant with meaning. I should really develop many of these themes, but I want to be brief in these discourses. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, and called to be holy together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, called to be an apostle. Ordained to be an apostle. Now, not in the sense of the fathers that they've corrupted, the corruptions they put on this word. Appointed of God, set apart by God, equipped by God, put in position by God, placed there by God, called to be an apostle. What Paul is saying here is, I'm stamping right in the first sentence, right in the opening remarks, I'm stamping my apostolic authority. What I'm writing here in this letter is not merely my view, my insight, my observation, my thoughts about things. I mean, of course, he's speaking as a man. He does have views and all the rest of it. But I'm speaking, he says, I'm writing as one called to be an apostle. What I write to you, he says, is apostolic command. It's the command of Christ himself to us. It's God's command. That's how I'm going to read this letter. It's not Paul's opinion. It's God's word to me and to you listening to me. As he says much later in this letter, chapter 14 and verse 37, if anybody thinks he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. As he goes on to say in verse 38, if he ignores this, he himself will be ignored. If he wants to be ignorant, if he wants to deny it, well, he will be ignorant. Let him be ignorant. Ignorance. Rejection. This is what I'm writing, he says. Apostolic, God's command. I'm not writing an opinion or view or a piece of advice for you to consider. I'm telling you what's what. That's his claim. I believe it. Do you? Are you going to submit to it? I want to say to Paul every time here, whatever you teach by God's Spirit in this letter, whatever principles apply to me, I'm going to by your grace. And that's it, grace and peace to you, verse 3. By God's grace, I want to apply them, these principles, to my life and to the churches too. Called to be an apostle of Christ. This is Christ's word to his people. Let Islam say what it like about Muhammad. He is no prophet. Christ is the absolute truth, the absolute king, the authority in his church. By the will of God, he says, I'm called to be an apostle. God's electing, eternal decree. In all his providential leading and direction, he has set me apart, even from my mother's womb, as he will say to the Galatians. But even before that, way back in eternity, he was appointed not only to be a believer, all believers can say that, but he was appointed to be an apostolic man, an apostle by the will of God. And he's writing, he's in company with a man called Sosthenes, our brother. But it's the apostolic command here, which is all important. So that's the authority of the man and his writing. Have we got it? Now let us look on the other side, the receivers, to the church of God in Corinth. Now here's another word that's corrupted, church. Mentioned church today and people think of a building. Oh, that church over there. Nothing to do with buildings. They didn't have buildings in the New Testament. They met in homes or in fields or whatever. In homes, usually. The church doesn't mean the building. Ah, but it's the organization. No, it's not the organization in the New Testament. It's the denomination. It's the association. It's this or that. No, it's not. Let us look at the Greek word. Ecclesia. After all, these Corinthians would have heard that word. Ecclesia. It comes from the verb out of, to be called. They're the out of called ones. Out of what? Out of paganism. Corinth was riddled with paganism, but so is London, so is New York, so is San Francisco, Las Vegas, so is Timbuktu, so is the Vatican. Riddled with paganism. And the church of God are those who have been out of called. As Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he says, you were called out of the world. How do I know that? You were elect of God. How do I know that? Because you turned from idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait for Jesus Christ who is coming from heaven. To the church of God, called out by God, called out to God from the world, from paganism. Now there's a corruption today. People think of buildings. They think of institutions. And look at the churches today. Most of them are spending all their time, their money and energy, their devotions and their skills and everything else. What for? To try and to attract pagans into the church. Well, not into membership, but just into attendance, coming to the building and being part of it. It's all part and parcel of the same, my friend. Whatever this membership is, we're doing all we can to attract pagans. We've turned the thing on that I've said. Believers are called out from paganism. I don't want to attract pagans. I certainly don't want to attract them to church. I want pagans to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, to repent of their sins, to be convicted and converted, and turn to Jesus Christ in faith. To the church of God, the Ecclesia. You're living in Corinth, but you're called out. You're no longer citizens of Corinth. Well, you are. You've got that passport, you can vote there or whatever it might be. But you are really in Christ. You are the church of God. And you are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now again, there's another corruption. The word sanctified here means separated. What Paul is speaking about here is that election of God. From eternity past, separating them, predestinating them from the world. But he's speaking of that once and for all work of Christ by the Spirit that makes them absolutely holy in his sight. As he will say in the first chapter later on in verse 30, Christ is made unto us holiness, our sanctification. He is what we are in the sight of God. And therefore, Romans 8:1, we are without condemnation if we're in Christ. There is no condemnation to any man who is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5, we are without spot or wrinkle or stain or any such thing. We are sanctified through and through, perfect in the sight of God. Hebrews tells us he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, the sanctified. But he immediately goes on to say, called to be holy. We are sanctified in Christ Jesus, in Christ, by believing in Christ. We're united to Christ. We're trusting in Christ. We're joined to him. And we have all the righteousness and holiness of Christ in the sight of God. But this has to be worked out in our life. And this is called, what I would call it, progressive sanctification or transformation or turning into what we are, living out. Any man in Christ Jesus is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Therefore, we live out this holiness in our daily life. We're making growth in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. So there's that true double sanctification here. There is that initial sanctification in the sense of separation from paganism and pagans, from damnation, from condemnation, from pollution, made perfect in the sight of God, and then the living of it out in daily life. And Paul is writing to these believers who've been called out into Christ, and therefore to one another. He is their Lord and ours. We have one common, I don't mean that in a pejorative sense, one common Saviour, one common Lord. And the closer we get to him, the closer we get to each other. These men and women, these believers, are united to God in Christ. And they are the church of God, the elect of God, the ecclesia, the called out ones of God, the assembly of God in Corinth. And of course he's writing to all throughout the world and all time. He's writing to me, believer. And he's writing to you, believer. To everyone, everywhere. All those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has called us into himself, and he's enabled us to call on him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever cry out to Christ, trusting his name, his merit, Jesus, Savior, Lord, Christ, trusting his work, relying upon his precious blood, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his intercession, his coming again, his person, offices, works, all resting in Christ. Whoever calls on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is their Lord, our Lord. We are all united. And this man is writing as an apostle to us, telling us what is what, laying down Christ's law for us in the gospel. Grace and peace to you. We need grace to be saved, for by grace are ye saved. The undeserved kindness of God. In fact, when we deserve his wrath, the mercy of God. We need grace to live this Christian life. We need grace to grow in holiness. We need grace to live as believers together in Christ, to live as the assembly of God, to live separate lives from the pagans. And we need peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with one another. Living peaceably with all men as far as possible. But that is not very far, I'm afraid. Where do we get this grace and peace? It comes from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By his Spirit, of course, although he is not mentioned here. What a paragraph. What corruptions we see today. We see paganism in the churches, in the institutions. We see hierarchy. Where's the pastor here? His church. Is Christ's church? Is God's church? Where are the pastors? There aren't any pastor here. There's no pastor except God, except Christ, of course. He is the great apostle and shepherd and teacher and ruler of his people. Are there no leaders and elders? Well, of course there are. We should come across that. But the fact is, we're all mutual priests of the Lord, kings and priests, as Peter will tell us in his first letter, chapter 2. There's a mutuality, their Lord and ours. There's a bodiness. We're one in Christ Jesus. We're called out from the world. We're a separated people, a distinguished people, a marked people, a saved people. Oh, believer, let us live like this. Let us think like this. Let us raise our voices against what we're seeing in the churches. Let us cry out for a return to the apostolic way in this passage here, in 1 Corinthians. Let us get rid of the corruptions which we see here, which were so obviously seen in our lives today. As we shall see, they made a cult of men. Well, we got that today. Where's that here? Let us make a cult, if you like, of Christ, of God, of the Spirit. Let us be apostolic. Let us be the church, the ecclesia of God. Unbeliever, I'm not calling you to church. I'm not calling you to an organization. I'm not calling you to religion. I'm calling upon you to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean? Bow the knee to him, my friend. Now, submit to him now. I'm calling for you to be convicted of your sins, to repent of your sins, to turn from your sins, and to call out to Christ, and that his blood should wash you from your sins. I'm calling you to leave the world side and to come into Christ. If you will not come, you will perish. Therefore, come. Come now and receive Christ. Hear the call of God, the invitation. You have to listen to the preaching. You hear the word of truth, Ephesians 1. And hearing it, you believe. Well, I've tried to give you, however briefly and however poorly, a summary of this passage. I'm giving you the gospel. Here's Christ offering himself to you as Savior, Lord, and King. Will you receive him? If you receive him, you'll be united to him. You will no longer be a pagan. You'll be a Christian. You'll be in Christ. You'll be one of the ecclesia, joined to Christ. Therefore, you join to the other fellow members of the ecclesia and begin to live out the gospel life under God by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Well, there it is. As we go on with this letter then, this is the tone I'm going to set. Paul is teaching us what's what. He's giving us the authoritative, apostolic word of God. He's reproving and rebuking what we see so commonly about us. May we be given grace. Believer, to submit to Christ at once. Unbeliever, submit to Christ at once. Believer, to obey God in his word and to return to the apostolic scriptures, the apostolic words, and to see in our life, see the evidence and the marks of all that God has for us in his word. May we be indeed part and parcel of the church of God, calling on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.